Good morning, ladies. Good to see you. Well, it's almost tempting to say good morning, boys and girls. Bible school is coming a little. Anyway, well, I'm glad you can be here this morning. And so let's go ahead and jump right in. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, would you bless this time together? Would you open our hearts to your truth? And I just pray that you'll guide and direct. Give us exactly what we need, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Titus chapter 2 is always where we start. If you would turn there, I would like to encourage you, if you did not get to hear very much of the Victory Conference, it would be well worth your time to take the conference from beginning to end and listen to it in order. And those of you that went to the conference can tell those that did not, that weren't able to, just about that, because I think you would very much be helped. But it would be very important to listen to it in order. In fact, start with the Sunday night message by Dr. Jim. That would be the place to start, and then go right on through it. So, all right, Titus chapter 2, our whole theme for the book that we are studying, the matter of being a godly woman. And it comes in contrast to Titus ministering on a very ungodly island called Crete, and it certainly parallels the kind of culture that we live in today. And godly living is what verse 1 of chapter 2 states, is it's what adorns sound doctrine. In other words, out of the right kind of teaching should come right living. And so you have the admonition to aged men, women, and they're there to teach, and we've been looking at all of these different factors. And so today we're going to look at verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Keepers at home, the idea of homemaking. And we'll look at that word in just a few minutes here. But this is something that is very relevant to our day, because there has been a demeaning and a wrong perspective on the matter of homemaking. It used to be a very common thing. A woman would be very happy to put down as her profession, homemaker. Now today that's almost seen as something that is second class. And so we have to re-educate ourselves on the right perspective and the right balance on the whole matter of being a homemaker. And she gives the illustration in her opening introduction about how her daughter learned to really become quite a cook. But she learned that to become a good cook, you had to learn the basics and learn them well. And it all one thing upon another. And so she's going to deal with basics here in this chapter. And I'm going to refer to what she says several times, coming just from a woman's perspective. But this is a very high and holy calling. Now, we've got to understand, as John 17 says, we live in the world, but we are not of the world. And so, therefore, we must not be dominated by what our culture puts as priorities. We've got to determine the balance of priorities ourselves and go on the pathway that God wants us to be on. And so, evidently, there in Crete, there had been a neglect by the ladies there to be homemakers. And so, therefore, he brings this up. And so, you know, as you think of godliness, of course, a number of the things we've just been talking about, we just covered purity, that would fit. You would definitely think of that, a number of the other areas. But then homemaker, right in the middle of that, is put into the 10 different characteristics we've been looking at as far as characteristics of a woman who is following her high and holy calling. So it definitely makes it important. It's something that we need God's grace. Remember, anything that is spiritual that God calls us to takes God's grace to accomplish it. So we're not even just talking about doing human work here. We're talking about a divine perspective with a divine purpose and divine enabling, because we're talking about the home being something that produces transformed people and is in a place where the presence of God is being manifest. So I think that's very important. And I she talks about the fact that she came from a home that wasn't exemplified, so she didn't have very much training at all. And so she had, and she realized as she's been studying this, that it is not something natural. I mean, it is sacrificial. And if it's going to be the right kind of perspective on the home, it's going to be, as I've already said, something that comes from the grace of God to enable us. So it's interesting here. She mentions there's a logic in the Apostle Paul's mind, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit. She speaks of the fact that the younger women are to be taught the love of husband and the love of children. That points to personal duty in the fact of being created as the helpmeet for a husband. That goes back to creation. Then discipline and purity that we just covered point to personal character enabled by the grace of God. And homemaking and kindness point to the personal position that we have in the home. The term homemaker means, in the Greek, a working at home. The idea of the word is a compound word that has the word home and it has the word ergon, which means energy or work. Is homemaking work? You say, would you please preach this to the men? You know, this is, listen, I think the hardest job on earth is a homemaker. I mean, you're a manager, a financial manager. You've got to lead. You've got to organize. It just on and on it goes. It's quite the deal. And so I think the Bible's very accurate here. Obviously, it always is. But it is interesting that it is in contrast to the warning of another pastoral epistle, and that's in 1 Timothy chapter 5, dealing with the problem of widows. The families need to take care of widows. If a godly widow doesn't have a family, then the church needs to make sure the widow is okay. And younger widows are not to be idle. They are not to be busybodies. They are not to get themselves in moral troubles. They are to be at home, even in that kind of a setting, and they need to be willing to be married and to protect themselves. Very interesting, that perspective. Now, let me just say, our culture has less and less put the focus on family priority. The average age of people getting married is 28 now. In fact, it's really in the 30s, the low 30s. And so you have this idea, especially on the part of women, that they need to be free to follow their careers and do what they want to do for the first decade out of high school. And the problem is, in counseling, many young ladies will say, that was the biggest mistake I ever made, because what happened in my life in those 10, 12 years is very destructive, very dangerous. And so that's why children are under the care of their parents. You know, they definitely need to learn to be independent and function as adults, but they still need to have that protection of parents until they get married. And so there ought to be that focus on the home. Now, sometimes God will call ladies to be single, and that is itself its own calling, but that is a clear calling from the Lord, and they need to embrace that and to be very careful. But the matter of the home is in contrast to this self-serving mentality. It's be for men too. Same problem for the fellas, but just a different role that they have. But it's also this independence and the lack of wanting to take responsibility. Did you know that the majority of men that are in their upper 20s live at home? I'm talking about with their parents. Now, it seems to contradict what I just said. They're not under their parents. They're just using that they're not willing to take responsibility. So I just throw that out. We got a cultural issue is what I'm trying to say, a very definite cultural issue that is a problem. So, as she titles it, it's a calling to be the queen of the home. Now, let me just say this, that we're talking here about what is your priority. Now, obviously, the author here has had full training and she's spending enormous amount of time doing what? Writing and speaking. So she isn't saying that a woman should not develop the spiritual gifting, of course, for the local church, and develop some the skills that God has for her. And it doesn't mean that a woman cannot work. And obviously, many times women have to provide for themselves. It is what you love. It is what your priority is. It's what you are living for. It's what your identity is. That is really what is at the heart of what is being taught here. I hope you get that balance. Because remember, as you develop yourself under God's leadership, you give all of that to your husband. You put that into your children. And so it doesn't mean that you don't allow yourself to continue to grow as a person. And you may have opportunities to work and do things, but those need to be for the right motivation, not for financial whatever, not for your own personal identity, like I said, because there are great dangers. Things really changed. I entered the ministry 45 years ago, almost this year. And the big problem I had in the early years was men being unfaithful to their marriages. By the time I got to about halfway through my ministry time, it's definitely women by far. 80% of marriages are broken by the wife, not by the husband. And I believe a lot of it is that there's not that sense of central priority being on the home first, so that it's not escaping the home. It is under God's leadership and under the leadership of a husband, if you're married, doing the things that ought to be done for the sake of the cause of Christ and for the sake of the cause of the home. Does that make sense? Because you look at Proverbs 31. Boy, that gal knew a lot of things. But it was all for her home and it was all for her husband. Does that make sense? So there has to be a balance here. I'm not saying you just sit at home. That's not what I'm saying. You make your home, your life, your priority, and whatever opportunities you have, all should be under God's leadership for that purpose. Okay? So that's, I think, very important. Okay, so I'm going to give you a number of points here. First of all, homemaking, and I've already actually given you this point, is a priority. And your love should be for your home, and that love should be manifested in the home. You know, home is where the heart is, as you've often heard, and there's nothing like the woman's heart and their love for whoever is in the home that just makes that home come alive. And so if you have more than yourself in a home, that should be your priority, to have the love of Christ coming through you and there be the warmth and the reality of God in that home. Homemaking should be seen as a privilege. You know, being a queen is a privilege, she says, just as making and building a home is a privilege. It is your castle. And there's no greater task, responsibility, and privilege in the world than to make a home. Now, homemaking is about people. Ever been to a model home? That's cutting-edge stuff. It actually is a temptation to covet, to be jealous. You know, you see a home you could never buy, probably. And you see all the cutting-edge technology. The kitchen, just like you'd love to have a kitchen and so forth. But the one thing about it is, that's not a place you'd want to visit just to be encouraged. You know, there's no people there. It's just materials. And you let that home sit without anybody coming through and taking care of it, it wouldn't be but a few years and it would decay. So homemaking is about, it is about people. And so that's what you've got to understand, that we're going to look at how important it is to make your nest appropriate and good. But the fact is, when you think of home, you're thinking of the best for those that God has placed in your life. And that changes throughout the years. So my wife and I started obviously, without children, and I was her main focus. You know, wonderful. And then, one by one, six little intruders came in, and so all of a sudden, home was about eight, about seven of us for my wife, and so that definitely she gave herself to that. There wasn't any doubt about what to do. One by one, they left, and but we still have more than just me. We have my son Wayne, and we have my mother-in-law. So, and then we have those that are there to help take care of. What's that?
And three,
that's right, three ladies that help us there that my wife oversees. And so our home is still, it's not an empty nest. We do not have the empty nest syndrome. That is for sure. We're as active as we've ever been. And then we have little intruders that come in all the time, you know, all these little grandkids, you know. So anyway, but it's all about people. And that's what your focus has got to be. Now, we're going to talk about how important the house is. But some women are so concerned about, they think about homemaking as all the material things that you do. Man, cooking is important. Keeping the house right is important. Decorating it right is important. All of those things are important. But it's your heart, your love, your care, your priorities. That's what the home's about for the sake of those that are there. And that really helps you get the balance, because a lot of times women will be at home, but they'll neglect the very reason for which they are there, because they're so concerned about keeping up with everything, all the details. They're sort of perfectionists, and that can kill the whole, you know, kid comes in, he's scared to death to even walk on the floor, you know, because the home is more a showpiece than it is a place to live. And so I don't know if you've noticed, but when you got a bunch of little kids, the house just doesn't stay picked up. Have you ever noticed that? In fact, if it did, they'd be very warped kids. Now, they need to learn to pick up, but toys need to be out. And I always tell the younger mothers, and we got a few here, listen, there'll be that day you wish you saw toys strewn around, because they'll be gone. But again, grandkids bring them back. So I couldn't believe it the other day. A couple of them were out. And I mean, they covered the entire house, you know, with a bunch of stuff. I said, they did that fast. And I forgot what those days were like, you know. So anyway, all right. But it's also about a place. And so it is right. And I tell husbands that it is an important thing for you to support your wife according to what your abilities are economically, to make the house warm, inviting, and it should be someplace that is. But again, you are decorating it not for you. You're decorating it for your family. You're decorating it for others, not to wow over it, but to feel comfortable in it. And frankly, make sure you have scripture. Make sure you have appropriate things there. It ought to be an encouragement just to walk into your home. Homemaking is a passion, not a prison. that's what the world wants to tell you. You know, women have been subjugated by men all of these years and made to be at home. Now, the problem is there are some cultures in which that's the case. And frankly, women are imprisoned in the home. And that's tragic. But that is never a godly Christian culture. Never. And that's tragic. But biblically, it is not a prison. It is a passion. And you're the queen. And that's important for you to be excited about the opportunity to encourage and build and strengthen and mentor those that are there, to be a blessing to others that come into your home. It ought to be the greatest joy in the world. And by the way, when you give yourself that way, you've got God's power. You will find that you have spiritual enablement when that's your priority. House can't be about yourself. It's got to be about others and everything you do. And learning to cook and all the other skills, it ought to be for the sake of really being an encouragement to those that are there. She says it's a profession. It's a challenging and diverse career in itself that needs to be mastered. You've got to learn. It takes a lot of practice. Isn't that right? And by the way, the older women are teach the younger. Which are the first ones that we ought to teach? our own daughters. And that's very important. You know, it's very, what should I say? It gets in your way to have your daughter, when they're little, to be in there to help you cook. You know, I mean, it's a bigger mess and it's worth it, but you're doing something bigger than the cooking itself, okay? And so it's always harder to teach your child to do something. Now, eventually, wow, big dividends. They can take over on stuff and it's wonderful. It was nice when finally my boys could mow the lawn or whatever, you know, and all the different things they could do. And then, of course, they leave and you're back out there again, which is good. I enjoy that kind of thing. But it is something that takes time. So that should be the first thing. And by the way, if you have areas that you don't know about, because many, many, many women were not trained in the home, there are people that are. Don't be too proud to ask, what do you do about this? How do you handle this? How do you manage this? Could you give me some tips on cooking this kind of thing? You know, I'm telling you, people love to help one another. There are even classes that you can take all the time, different places that can help you in some of these skills, sewing and so forth, if you're wanting to learn, if it's needful for you to do that. Wonderful to see this as a something to become an expert in. Now, again, I'm saying it doesn't mean you're not doing things outside the home, but the home is the first priority, and you're putting your best effort into that. Yes?
You need to teach your sons how to cook, too.
That's true, so they can survive. Yeah, that's true. Young men do need to cook. And I went to college based on cooking, so I do enjoy mainly breakfast and all stuff I can't eat anymore. But anyway, I enjoy cooking. You know what? Husbands do though. They dump. I mean, they cook stuff and then they put all kinds of seasoning in. You know, it's just dump, 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 dump. And wives, just don't ask what's in what they cook, okay? If it tastes good, but it may not be real healthy before it's all said and done. All right, we'll move on. Homemaking is a matter for prayer. I can't emphasize that enough. It's the spiritual atmosphere. Man, if you're struggling, if you're not happy, if you're bitter, if you're worldly, if you are living for this... for things, if you're unhappy with your husband, wow, that I don't care what you do in the home, it isn't going to fly. But when you pray and really pray for those in your home and ask for wisdom, how to manage, how to schedule, what's priority, how to do something that'll be an encouragement. Here's what I would say. Your family should want to come home. That's as simple as it can be. Why do they want to come home? Obviously to be with you, but what else? I mean, you need to just think about what kind of atmosphere, what kind of things are going on in the home that really do encourage those that are there. Now, homemaking is also permanent. You say, wherever you go, that's now your home. Wherever the Queen of England is, the flag of royalty is flown in the British flag. In other words, she lives at Windsor Castle, but she has a bunch of other residences. So wherever she is, that's home for her. That's the official status. The same thing for you. You may, in your days of having a family, have a certain kind of home. Maybe God will send you maybe to the mission field for a little bit of time, and you're in a bamboo hut. That's your home. You might have a temporary home. Military wives hop from one place to the other, but the time that they're there, they're home. Now, what's the point? It's the people. It's not the dwelling place. Now, the dwelling place ought to, of course, enhance what you are doing, but don't think of home as the dwelling place. Think of the dwellers in the home, and that will really help you. So, all of your life, You are going to be touching people's lives. You may be living single, but your home can be a blessing to others. And you can think about that. But it's important to realize that this is a permanent position. And then, as I've already been intimating, homemaking sets a pattern. And it's there should be the teaching of homemaking, the exemplifying of it. And finally, it is a practice. In other words, it's something that you continue to repeat and learn and grow. Does it ever bother you that to go to a medical doctor and go to his practice? I've thought about that. They're practicing on me to get better, you know, in what they're doing. But that's really a pretty good term. And practice makes perfect. That's true if it's practice is done the right way. So don't evaluate yourself on one part of your life to somebody that's been doing it for a long time. Just keep learning, growing, learn good habits, and better ways to do things. And it's amazing the skills. And again, you've got God on your side because this is one of the 10 areas of being a godly woman. So you've got God's power to enable you to do it. So God will give you skills to be able to accomplish it. All right, a little different of a subject for me to handle here today, but it's right there in the text, and that's what we're doing. And I want to encourage you, when you go back and look at those dishes and those little people, and when you get to home today and maybe it's empty for a while and maybe your husband's going to come home later or whatever, stop and think about those points. And I think it'll really encourage your heart. Lord, make me a blessing. Give me the power to make this a home today. All right. Well, got a lot to discuss there, so I'll let you get going there.